went to a fellowship not very long ago, and they said to me, "It's ages since you've been here." Herb, I told them I only go when I'm invited. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and let me just say, I am delighted to be invited to Faith Bible Fellowship. I love to come and to minister the Word, to enjoy the fellowship of believers, and my wife and I have very quickly come to feel that this is our spiritual home, and we feel very much at home with you. John's Gospel, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Look at verse 24, just as we close. "For John was not yet cast into prison." We'll see the relevance of that in just a moment. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the privilege of entering into the very throne room of heaven. We thank Thee for the promise of Thy Word that grants us that Thou wouldst be here in our midst because we are gathered in Thy name. And Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this morning as that sweet and glorious gospel goes forth that even today there may be some in this meeting who know not Christ, who even today would come and claim the Savior as their own. Father, give help, we pray, in the ministry of Thy Word. Grant that I might be taken up in the power and unction of the Holy Ghost. Grant that I may not be a hindrance to Thy Word, but that Thou wouldst minister through me. We ask it for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want today, this morning and this evening, to look at the teaching of the Lord Jesus on the new birth, on being born again. And this morning we're going to look at it for the purpose of those who may be unbelievers. And this evening we're going to look at it as those who are believers. This morning we will preach the gospel. This evening we will study the glorious teaching of the Word of God on what the Bible calls the adoption of sons. That God has made us adopted into His family. You know, I have preached on John's Gospel chapter 3 on many occasions. I have ministered the Word on what it means to be born again. And I want to this morning emphasizing to you the importance of the subject. Let me put the discourse in John chapter 3 in context for you. Most people, when they come to John chapter 3, they think that somewhere in the middle of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, this man Nicodemus came. Somewhere after he had been teaching. Somewhere after all the miracles had been performed. Nicodemus had been so moved and he came by night to talk with Jesus. You know, it would be wrong for me to criticize you for believing that, because for many years that's what I believed. And then I find out an amazing fact about Nicodemus. It wasn't somewhere in the middle of the Lord's ministry. It was actually right at the very beginning of the Lord's ministry. It wasn't that Nicodemus had been one of those who had gone on the mountainside and heard the Sermon on the Mount. Because the Sermon on the Mount hadn't yet happened when Nicodemus came to Jesus. Let me show you that from Scripture so that you don't think I'm away out in left field somewhere. That's why we read in John chapter 3 and verse 24. The hinge pin of the history of the time was the casting into prison of the apostle of John the Baptist. And in verse 24, after Nicodemus has come to Jesus, the Word of God says, "For John was not yet cast into prison." So before John was cast into prison, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. The teachings of Jesus on the new birth took place. I turn back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, which of course is the chapter right preceding the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And verse 12, "Now when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And from that point, you trace the footsteps of the Lord Jesus through Decapolis, beside the Jordan, and seeing in chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. That's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. You see, the Sermon on the Mount took place after John the Baptist had been imprisoned. But the conversation with Nicodemus, the Word of God clearly tells us that the conversation with Nicodemus happened before the arrest and the imprisonment of John the Baptist. Let me say this to you. I believe the importance of that is this, that the very first subject that we read of Jesus speaking about, the very first concise and consecutive teaching that he gives, is to the man Nicodemus concerning the new birth. The first teaching that the Son of God gives is that man needs a second birth. We need to be born again. Now, I want to suggest to you that that gives to us the importance. The very fact that Jesus speaks first about this illustrates for us the importance. The second thing we see is this, is that Jesus tells Nicodemus that without this spiritual birth, Nicodemus and no other man and no other woman can see, that is to understand, or can enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus Christ has come to establish. You know, the purpose of the Lord Jesus coming to earth is this new birth. Is that men and women and boys and girls might be born into the family of God, might become part of the kingdom of God. I want to go a step further. Without the spiritual birth and the need for the spiritual birth, the cross would have been meaningless. The purpose of the cross, and we'll see this in a moment, the purpose of the cross is that we might be born again. You see, this religious man, he turns to Jesus and he says to Jesus, in the midst of the discourse, he says, Jesus, how can this be? And it's when he asks Jesus, how can this be, that Jesus speaks John 3:16. That Jesus speaks John 3:15. That as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. What's Jesus saying? Nicodemus, it's because of the cross that you can be born again. Now let's learn some important teachings on this doctrine of the new birth that Jesus teaches first. The first one is this. Jesus wants to emphasize that what he's saying is true. There were times in his ministry when he looked at the people that he was speaking to and he said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I'm telling you, I want to emphasize to you, I'm telling you the truth. How many times did he say that to Nicodemus? Look at the Word of God. Verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. And verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, why is this important? Well, we're living in a day when you talk about being born again and the world is going to say, well, you know, that message is outdated. That message is, well, it was a colloquial message that Jesus brought to the people of his day, and even Jesus didn't expect it to become a worldwide teaching. No, 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 no. Jesus emphasized to Nicodemus, I'm telling you the truth. Don't listen to anyone who tells you different. Don't allow the world to cloud the issue. Don't even allow all your religious knowledge to cloud the issue. I'm telling you the truth. You must be born again. You must be born again. So we need to learn that the great emphasis of the Lord Jesus is that the truth for man today is exactly the same as it was for man in that day. That he needs a new and a spiritual birth. And this is not a suggestion. Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The other thing I would show to you this morning is that the new birth, being born again, is irrespective of age. Irrespective of age. Nicodemus looked at Jesus and said, how can a man be born when he is old? You know, I sat when I was writing my notes and I wrote this down. My children were both saved before they were 10 years old. But I wasn't saved until I was 18 years old. My father wasn't saved until he was in his 60s. And my grandmother got saved just after her 73rd birthday. Does age make a difference? Not at all. Not at all. You can be saved as a child, born into the family, and it's every bit as real as a child as it is for an adult or for a grandparent. You know what the world does? The world, and I remember my mom and dad doing this, and I used to ask them to come to church with me, and they'd say, oh no, it's all right for the children. It's good that the little ones are in church. Now, Jesus says the new birth is irrespective of age. Nicodemus, the fact that you're old or older is not going to make any difference at all. Third thing is this. Nicodemus, the new birth isn't learned by the practice of religion. I can imagine Jesus looking into the eyes of Nicodemus and saying, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You mean you've climbed to the very elite of your religious profession and you don't know these things? See, it doesn't come by religious activity. I was one of the most religious people you could ever meet. Our sister was playing a flute this morning. I played a flute when I was in my teens. I was a Protestant in an orange band. I never made it sound like you made it sound. But that was the fervor of my religion. That was the heartbeat of my faith. I was a member of the Loyal Orange Institution of Northern Ireland. LOL 604 Earl of Erne. And I got saved on September 4th, 1966. That was a Sunday night. And all the heritage of my Protestant background, we had a meeting on September 5th. And I sat at that meeting in Clifton Street, Orange Hall, and I looked at the men who were in the same lodge, and I said, "Gentlemen, this will be my last night with you. Are you leaving us?" "Gentlemen, I got saved last night. I came to know Jesus as my Savior. This isn't what I need to be involved in." I had to leave behind all my religious persuasions and come and be born again through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Nicodemus had to do. Jesus said, "Nicodemus, this isn't about going to church or reading your Bible or being baptized or paying money. This is a spiritual birth. Being born of the Spirit of God. Being born into the family of God." Let me say this to you. And this is what is misunderstood in the church today. The new birth is not an emotional experience alone. It is a creative work of God. Every bit as powerful as when God spoke and the whole of creation was made. Every bit as powerful is the creative work of God in the heart of a man or a woman, of a boy or a girl, when they are born again of the Spirit of God. It is a creative work of God. It is becoming a member of the family of God. Of the family of God. You know, no matter what I would ever have done in my life, and I would suggest to you that no matter what my decisions would have been to change it, I was born a Gould. Some of you will know the horror of what that means, but I was born into the Gould family. On the 4th of September, 1966, I was born into the family of God. And God brought me into a relationship with His Son that, first of all, I had never known. Secondly, I had never dreamed of the wonder of it. And thirdly, it can never be broken. No one can ever put me out of the Gould family. No one can ever put me out of the family of God. Why? Because I have been born of God's Spirit. The Apostle Peter tells us that I have received the very nature of God. I've become God's child. The Apostle Paul tells me it is real for me to be a child of God. Listen to this. It is real for me to be a child of God as it is for Jesus to be the eternal Son of God. That's absolutely right. Because in Christ, I am accepted eternally as God's child. Let me say this too. And I think this is very often missed. It's not only that I became a child in God's family. I became a subject in the kingdom of God. I received a new king to honor and to love. Now we're very shy today when it comes to speaking out and saying that we love Jesus. And I've been told in the past that I've got a little bit of Pentecostal in me, but when I was first saved, I used to go to a little Pentecostal church, and they used to sing choruses, and they used to sing them differently than we did. We'd sit round in a ring, and they'd sit round in a circle, and they'd look at you, and one would sing out, "Tell me, Joe, do you love Jesus?" And it was my turn. I had to start. First of all, I had to sing out of my own, "Yes, I love Jesus." And then I had to turn to somebody else in the circle and say, "Tell me, Jonathan, do you love Jesus?" And Jonathan would have to start and sing out, "Yes, I love Jesus." They weren't ashamed of giving expression to their love for Jesus Christ. When I was born again, Jesus Christ became my King. Not just my Savior. Not just my Savior. And it wasn't that He became my Savior on the 4th of September and that sometime later on He became my King. He became my Savior and my King at the very moment I was born, not only into His family, I not only became His child, I became a subject of the King. And I've got to tell you this, I'm waiting with excitement to the day when my King will be hailed and recognized by all the world. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. Jesus has a kingdom that is eternal, that is a kingdom based on righteousness, that is a kingdom that has given to His people a heavenly home. And when I was born again, I was born into that kingdom. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said that until you're born again, you can't even understand that that kingdom exists. You can live your whole life, and men and women have done it. They've lived their whole lives and never understood that Jesus has a kingdom that they're not part of. And that Jesus can become a king and rule and reign personally in the hearts of men and women. See, I believe that's what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is a people in whose heart Jesus reigns. People who have become the subjects of King Jesus. Tell me, is it any wonder that Nicodemus looked at Jesus and said, "Jesus, how can these things be?" Is it any wonder that this great religious man was totally lost, totally devoid of understanding? Is it any wonder? Are these things common Now, this is the very heart of God revealed. This is the very purpose of God revealed. This is the very purpose of the gospel and the power of the gospel revealed. I was reading Charles Haddon Spurgeon the other morning. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says that it would be like speaking to a dog and telling a dog to become a human. To look at a human and tell him in his own power to become a child of God. It's just not of man. And it's not just what man can do. It's what God does. And thank God what God has done for me. Jesus tells Nicodemus four things that he needed to know so that he could understand something of how these things could be. The first one's found in verse 13. Look what it says. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. What's Jesus saying? Nicodemus, these things can only be possible because the Son of God left heaven to become the Son of Man. Tell me, do you think Jesus wanted me to be his child? What a price he was willing to pay. What a price that I might be his. Born into his family. Part of his kingdom. But that's what he says, Nicodemus. This is possible because I left heaven and came down. Then he says, Nicodemus, not only did I come down, but this is possible because I'm going to be lifted up. Nicodemus, I'm going to allow men to crucify me. Nicodemus, you remember all the offerings that have been offered in the temple? And all the offerings that have been offered in the tabernacle. And all the offerings that were offered before the tabernacle and temple were given. Nicodemus, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. And I'm going to fulfill all those offerings. And I'm going to bring them all to an end. Because I'm going to offer myself. Without spot to God. Nicodemus, that's why it's possible. That's why it's possible that you can be born into the family of God. That you can be born of God's Spirit. You can be part of God's kingdom. Not only did Jesus tell him that that was why he left heaven, and that would be why he went to the cross. But he told them that this would be brought about by the Word of God. Look what it says right back at the beginning. Verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now you know there are those who would tell you that that's baptism. But it's not. If that's baptism, then you have to baptize people before they're born again because it's put before the work of the Spirit. And if you baptize them before the work of the Spirit is done, you baptize them before they're saved. You baptize them, you have to baptize them before they're the children of God in the hope that one day they might become the children of God. Turn over with me to James chapter 1. Let's see what the Bible says the water is. James chapter 1. And verse 18. of his own will begat he us. Let me just stop and say, if you go back into the Old Testament and you look at the parenting situation, God recounting who were the children of whom, isn't that the word he uses, begat? Listen to what he says. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You see what the effectual cause of my being born again was? Hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn over with me to 1 Peter. Just over a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Let me stop there again. Remember Jesus told the story of the sower who went out and he sowed the seed? What did Jesus say the seed was? He says the seed is the word of God. Listen. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But look at verse 25. But the word of God, of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the efficient cause in a person being born again is the word of God. I remember the night I got saved. I couldn't tell you what the preacher preached on, but I know this, the word of God penetrated my heart. It was like an arrow to the target to which God sent it. And I knew that night when I got saved, God said. God said. Couldn't have told you a whole lot that God said. But I knew that night that I had to come to Christ because of what I had heard that God said. And then he says this, born of the water and of the Spirit. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1. You all know that the word Spirit there is used in three occasions of being born of the Spirit in John chapter 3. But listen to what it says in John chapter 1. One of my favorite Gospel verses. Verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Listen. Which were born not of blood. This isn't a physical birth. Nor of the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. My, I wish some preachers would read those words. My, I wish some preachers would read those words. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Born of God. Let me pick out those two words that I love so much, for our time is gone. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know what happened the night I got saved? I believed the gospel. I believed that Jesus Christ had come from heaven to save me. I believed that Jesus Christ had gone to the cross to save me. I believed there was a hell to miss. And I believed there was a heaven to gain. I want to stop here and say something. I know a lot of people who believe that, but they're not saved. What made the difference between my believing it and their believing it? One word. The word received. Because the Spirit of God convinced me in my heart of the truth of the gospel, he brought me to that place where I cried out, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. You see, you can know all these truths and do nothing about it and never be saved. But if you really believe it, you'll bow your head and you'll bow your heart and you'll say, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again. Lord Jesus, I want to be born into your family. Lord Jesus, I want to be born a part of your kingdom. I want to enter into that kingdom. Listen, to as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, power, to become the children of the sons of God. Where do you stand this morning? I believe Nicodemus got saved that night. In fact, I'm absolutely sure Nicodemus got saved that night. But there were many who heard that same message of Jesus who didn't get saved. There were many who listened to the great Sermon on the Mount that followed and who didn't get saved. There were many who saw the miracles but didn't get saved. You sit this morning in a Bible-believing church, listening to a Bible-centered message. Jesus would say again, I'm telling you the truth. You need to be born again. In fact, you must be born again, or you're going to miss the kingdom of God altogether. You're going to miss it for eternity. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. It may be that God has spoken to your heart this morning. That God, the Holy Spirit, has been showing you your need to be born into the family of God. Oh, I pray that you will not resist. I pray that there would be one here this morning, yea, more than one, who would say, Lord Jesus, I believe. Because I believe, I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to receive you as my Lord, as my King. I want to be part of your family. I want to be part of your kingdom. Lord Jesus, I want to know that I'm going to heaven with all the certainty of the Word of God. Father, we pray today that as your Word has gone forth, that the hearts of your people would be thrilled and excited. Because we can look back to a time in our life's experience when we were born not of the flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but we were born of God. Oh, Father, help us to see this.